While you were sleeping, the Michigan legislature appropriated $83 billion of your tax dollars. The budget takes effect October 1st of this year. It's the 2025 budget. Last year, they appropriated $21.5 billion for K-12 education. This year, they've appropriated $900 million less than that. But they are opening the door for local districts to save money by allocating $500 million, or a little more than that, to lower the amount of money that they need to pay into their employee retirement funds. Some Republicans are saying you're kind of building a house of cards here, because if the economy turns south, you can be on the hook for a lot of liabilities that will then allow a bigger bite. Watching all of this with more than just interest is the Michigan Association of Superintendents Administrators that blasted this approach to funding. Joining us live this morning, Andrew Brody, region president of that group and also superintendent of Flat Rock Community Schools. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good. Very good. Is this basically, do you view this as a gimmick, a one-time fix?
Guy, this is a terrible budget for Michigan public schools. It really puts us in a place where we don't really know what to do beyond this school year, because none of the monies that were provided to schools this year have any type of legacy to them whatsoever. So there was no per pupil funding increase this year, meaning there's nothing that's going to sustain over time. So really hard to figure out what to do right now. Most school districts in the state have already passed their budget prior to this budget being passed this morning. We had to make some assumptions. Those assumptions are made off of information that we get back in March and in February when they present their budgets to House, the Senate, the governor. So we make some assumptions. And right now, I would assume a lot of my colleagues, a lot of school boards, a lot of people are scrambling to try to figure out what they're going to do to amend their budgets. It's really, really disappointing.
And this is at a time when a lot of them were losing some COVID funding, like we saw in Ann Arbor anyway, and having this, they're already scrambling in
it's
some
the COVID cliff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Over the last 10 years, we have historically gotten an increase in per pupil funding each year, with the exception of 2021. But in that year, that's the year that all the COVID funding came in. So that was a very good supplement for us. I think one of the biggest issues in this budget that I can see, beyond the MIPSERS thing and the retirement thing, and I think we'll figure all that out, work that out down the road, is, you know, last year they allocated millions upon millions of dollars for school safety, mental health supports. They've basically allocated just $17 a student for that this year. So you're talking school districts, SROs, you're talking counselors, social workers, behavior interventionists, psychologists. People are going to have to make a lot of difficult decisions over the next 6 to 12 months as to how they move forward.
So, Andrew, you see that, you know, without this long-term funding relief, there's just going to be layoffs?
I you know what? If a school district does not have a robust enough fund balance to weather that storm, yeah, you're going to see layoffs, which is really, really disappointing, because we were really on a good trajectory, really focusing on the whole child and how we support each and every kid at the level that they're at. And yeah, I think in some districts that haven't been as fortunate to save some money based on different things that happen to them over time, I think you'll see some difficult decisions that have to be made sooner rather than later.
Andrew, Representative Matt Colazar says that the school districts reduce what they have to pay into the retirement system, so that makes available $300 to $500 per student. How is there this disconnect by what you're saying and what he's saying, which is, quote, this is a historic investment in our schools?
Well, it's a historic investment from the perspective that that's basically public school money staying with public schools. But there should have been a support bill along with that. Senate Bill 911 should have accompanied that to give it some longevity, some legacy. And it doesn't. It's a one and done. So really hard for school districts to figure out what to do with that extra $300 or $400 a kid if I can't take it next year as well and ensure that I can get raises, do program advancements, and things of that nature. Really, really difficult place for us to be right now.
But also curious, I mean, Andrew, you watch this, the unions backed it, and it's their pension fund. Also, yep. Elements of the business community supported this as well.
Because it makes sense. This fund is fully funded at 140%. Taking 7% out of it was not going to negatively impact it. It was still going to be paid off in time in 2038. It just made a lot of sense. For Flat Rock alone, it would have been about $780,000. And that's a huge amount of money for a school district our size.
You know, you talked about mental health, too, which is big you know, across the country and especially in our schools? And what about the funding for mental health? You have a lot of school districts. I know here in Detroit, they have these health hubs that are helping with mental health, but there are a lot of districts that don't have that and need something like that.
Yeah. And we were, again, we were on a really good trajectory. You know, 10 years ago, Flat Rock only had two social workers. We now have one in every building. We have counselors in our high school and middle school now that we didn't have before. We have behavior interventionists in our elementary schools to help with different behaviors and social and emotional learning. And I really fear what happens next in a lot of places that don't have a fund balance to support that as we try to figure out the next step.
What about this idea that the money coming in, this $300 to $500 per student, you have more freedom to spend it than if it were through the other traditional way?
Yeah, again, I agree. We do have more autonomy to spend those dollars. My fear is where you spend them, will it have a legacy cost that I can't support the following school year, mm-hmm. right? Do I hire people just to lay them off a year from now?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That sets everybody up for failure. If you bring in human resources to support students and then they're not there the next year, that can be very traumatic to a kid.
If just the intersection with a child that's, you know, heaven forbid, a future Ethan Crumbly, isn't this the early warning system? Aren't these the canaries that are supposed to catch the gas in the mine?
And that's on all of us, right? So when you put $300 million into school safety one year and then put $26 million into it the following year, I'm really not sure what a lot of us are supposed to do when it comes to those early warning signs, making sure that we have the protections and the peace of mind for people to send their kids to school every single day. These are my concerns right now. These are the things I'm thinking through on June 27th. As this budget gets passed this morning at 5 a.m.
Well, we will be watching, and everybody should be watching your local school board as they struggle with these choices that have now been thrust upon them by the budget making in Lansing. Andrew Brody, we so appreciate your perspective on all of this.
No, I appreciate your time, and just so everyone out there knows, we will be ready come fall for everyone's kids to come back. That's what we do, and we'll make the best of it.
There you go, and we appreciate that, too. Take care, Andrew.
Thank you, sir.